following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College.
Wake up, Eagle Nation! Touchdown, Georgia Southern!
This is Inside Eagle Nation, your all-access look into Eagle athletics.
Taking a look through all the other action in Georgia Southern athletics this past week. A lot of road action. A lot of teams hitting the old I-16 out of town.
Getting on the steel horse and taking us to parts north, south, west, wherever. Can't really go too much farther east.
Now, let's return to the Learfield IMG College studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
That's a fact, Jack.
Welcome into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation, episode number 152 of Inside Eagle Nation. We should have kept count of how many of these we've done on video and how many we've done here from our new studio. New studio, it's only probably 10 or 15, but...
Yeah, it wouldn't take that long to find out.
No, we can do that math. Even us can do that
oh,
math.
Oh, hey.
Oh, there it is.
There we go.
My bad. But welcome into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation. It's a bye week. We're fine.
Well, it's also
let your hair down a little bit.
It's also sweater weather now.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You've jumped into quarter zip season.
Whenever it gets below 70, I jump into quarter zip weather pretty quick.
And I like it too. Oh. Don't get me wrong. I love the summer, but that first little bit, when it starts to cool down just enough, when you think, okay, some long sleeves, it's gonna feel all right.
Yeah.
You got fall baseball mixing in. Basketball's going to start here in the next 3 weeks. It's almost the overlap of everything at once.
Yeah, you've got fall baseball going on. They took on East Georgia in a scrimmage last weekend. They're going to be heading down to Gainesville, Florida to take on the Florida Gators in what essentially turns into a doubleheader type format. They don't necessarily take a break in between, but it ends up being a couple of games down against the Florida Gators. We will talk about that much more next week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation. You've got softball out at Eagle Field doing a couple of fall scrimmages. You had one 2 weeks ago, one last week, one coming up this Saturday over at Eagle Field. Got a doubleheader on Saturday afternoon. So a lot going on.
Saw one of the matchups against Georgia Military that threw no-hitter.
That's it.
Yeah.
Everything going on at once, and it's a perfect time for a bye week for a lot of different reasons. We'll dive into that a little bit later.
Sure.
But now you've got soccer winding down, volleyball starting to hit the tail end of their season. So you've got everything still going, basketball getting ramped up. Ready to go in a couple of weeks to tip it off in the beginning of November.
We're actually going on now with both men's and women's practicing. I was over in the back gym watching the men practice. They've had a really good start to the season. I've spent a couple of sessions with second-year coach Brian Berg. They've been working through some things now that he finally has a team that he's able to have contact with, because a year ago he put it all together over Zoom. He didn't get them until the second week of August, until they were all on the court. Somehow won 13 games. Been the case of Anita Howard. She has most everything back, going to increase their standing in the Sun Belt for 21.
You get to catch up with head coach Anita Howard on tomorrow's edition of Tuesday Talks with Jared Benko. You can go ahead on GS Athletics on Twitter, on Georgia Southern Athletics on Facebook. You can go ahead and find those, as well as get your questions in for Coach Howard tomorrow with Jared. But a lot to get to in this week's edition, but this is a little bit of a, again, we talked about it with being a bye week, kind of a let your hair down edition. So we want, yeah, we can't necessarily do that.
But the flowing manes that he and I have.
Yeah, but you out there, you may be able to do it a lot easier than we are. But we want to hear from Eagle Nation. Go ahead and get your questions in. We will talk about anything and everything this week. Get your questions, your comments, whatever you may have. You can comment here on the Facebook live stream. You can tweet us at GS Sports Network. You can text us 912-274-3607. So go ahead and get your questions in, and we will talk about anything and everything that you would like to discuss, whether it be something specific about Georgia Southern Athletics, something in general, something you've heard that maybe we can confirm, deny, can't confirm, deny, or if you just want to talk about life, we'll do that too.
We will answer all burning questions.
We will cover it all. I feel like we need Frank for the burning questions, but...
Yeah, what are we going to do without him for the next few days?
I don't know. We might have to make a trip down to Rinkin.
I think he would appreciate
that. Yeah, I think he would too. Yeah. I wonder if they have pizza down in Rinkin. I'm sure they do.
Come on.
But go ahead and get your questions in, but we will dive straight into this week inside Georgia Southern Athletics, as Georgia Southern men's and women's golf both finishing up their fall schedules over the last couple of weeks. Women's golf will have one more tournament coming up in the week ahead. But as you look at it, men's golf finished fourth of 15 teams in the Bank of Tennessee Collegiate last week in Johnson City. Ben Carr took the individual medalist with 13 under par, and that was the end of their fall schedule. That was their final tournament of the fall, so they get to kind of relax a little bit until they get it ramped up in February. I know Carter Collins put out on Twitter that he was wheels up to go recruiting this week, so he will be looking for the next batch of Eagles to bring to the nest.
Individually for Ben, a great way to end the season, not only winning the event, but he was also named Sunbelt Golfer of the Week.
That's not the worst way to do it. Not much I can tell you.
And he was already in quarter zip season, but granted, every season for golf is about quarter zip
season.
Yeah,
that's fantastic, though. I love it. Georgia Southern women's golf in action right now as they are at Kiawah Islands, but last week finished up being second out of 11 at the Edesto Island Invitational, and I hope that's the last time I have to say Edesto in the near future. But currently at Kiawah Island at the Buccaneer Classic, and at last check, Georgia Southern finishing up the day. They are tied for the top spot with Coastal Carolina at 13 under par. They are finishing the last two holes are the Eagles. They are 10 under for the day. They will have one more round coming tomorrow. But sitting pretty is Georgia Southern, tied for Coastal Carolina. Again, 13 under par. The next closest is Limestone, which sits at third at 6 under. So a couple of strokes ahead of Limestone, it'll be Georgia Southern and Coastal Carolina. It looks like duking it out in round three tomorrow down at Edesto. They will take a week off before the Mercer Invitational wraps up the fall, November 8th and 9th up in Macon. Georgia Southern women's soccer just one match this past week against Coastal Carolina. It was senior day at Eagle Field in Newark Park, but women's soccer dropped that one against the Chanticleers 4-1. They enter the final week of the regular season, rather. Thursday they will be at South Alabama, an 8 p.m. kickoff, and then a 1 p.m. Sunday afternoon kickoff to finish off the regular season up at Georgia State in Atlanta. And then they will head to Foley, Alabama for the Sunbelt Conference Tournament.
It all builds to that point, and when you see a lot of people get honored on senior night, I know it's partly a product of the COVID pandemic and yeah, a lot of people getting that waiver year, but the more people you can see getting honored, those are the teams that you have to think are going to be positioned to make a run in tournament play simply because of the experience that's there.
Taking a look at the women's soccer standings, Georgia Southern falling down to third place in the Sun Belt Conference. Arkansas State still sits atop at 6-1-1. They have 19 points. Again, we talked about it last week, the way soccer works, it's based off of points, a lot like you see in NHL hockey.
Right.
So you get 3 points for a win. You get 1 point for a tie. So Arkansas State with 19 points. South Alabama with 17 points. So Georgia Southern be going up against one of the top teams in the conference when they head to South Alabama for the 8 p.m. kickoff on Thursday. Big spot to gain some points, but Georgia Southern sitting tied for third with Georgia State. So this is a big weekend to round out the regular season. You're playing the team that is directly ahead of you in South Alabama and second, the team that you are tied for third with in Georgia State. But all in all, you are still getting into the conference tournament over in Foley, Alabama, and it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of issues with that.
You could basically call this little stretch the start of tournament play. You don't need to go to Foley to say, okay, the tournament starts, because you can dramatically impact where you finish over these next few matchups. You don't need to say, okay, I'm worried about finishing here, here, or here, when it can be directly impacted these next few. You can finish as well as you possibly can, maybe garner some individual accolades if possible, but most importantly, being in the best position to compete for a Sun Belt championship.
So a big week for Georgia Southern women's soccer. Men's soccer fell in both matches last week, 3-1 at South Carolina up in Columbia on Tuesday evening. They fell 3-2 against the Mercer Bears on Saturday at home at Eagle Field. And the tough schedule continues with MAC play this week, number 22 in the country, Northern Illinois. That'll be the third-ranked conference team they'll be playing. It'll be the sixth or seventh different ranked team that they'll face overall. That'll be on Thursday, and then on Saturday, they will have Western Michigan, a 7 p.m. kickoff for both of those. But Northern Illinois on Thursday, Western Michigan coming up on Saturday for MAC play at Eagle Field in Newark Park. Good to see a couple of ranked teams. You've got West Virginia the following week coming into Statesboro. They are ranked at, they were in the top five. They have fallen down into the 20s, but I say fallen down into the 20s. It's pretty good when you can have a tough week and you're still ranked in the top 25, and that's exactly what West Virginia has done. But we will cover them a little bit later in next week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation. But a big weekend for men's soccer with MAC play, two teams, one of those being ranked coming into Statesboro.
All of those matchups are getting you ready for postseason play as well, but they've got an instance where there's still enough of a regular season. There's no reason why they can't pick off at least one of those.
Yeah.
Because you play that kind of competition, you get a sense of this is how we need to be at least. And it'll become, okay, this is where our standard needs to be. And when you reach that standard, it won't be an instance where a ranked team or a higher position team will have to fall off simply to say you're better. Because you will be better from all that prior experience, if that makes any sense.
We talked about Northern Illinois. They are 10-1-1 overall, 2-0-1 in MAC play. And then Western Michigan has struggled this year, 4-5-4. Four ties, that seems very strange. But 0-2 in MAC play. So Georgia Southern and Western Michigan will be battling for the first MAC win of the season. And again, everybody goes to the MAC tournament. You will have the top seed, which right now it's Bowling Green and Northern Illinois. Duke can get out for the top of the MAC. They will be the host of what the MAC tournament will look like coming up in a couple of weeks. Georgia Southern volleyball had a tough week in Alabama as they fell 3-2 against Troy on Friday and then 3-1 against South Alabama on Saturday. They look to bounce back at home Friday against Little Rock, Saturday against Arkansas State. Both of those will be 6 o'clock first serves from Hanner Fieldhouse just down the hall. And it's part of the stretch that we talked about last week. Six of your final eight regular season games are at home. And that's exactly what you want for that push to Foley.
This is your push. I really felt for him because I was following the Troy matchup pretty closely. They dropped the first two sets, came back to win the next two, and then I turned it on the ESPN Plus broadcast for set number five, and the Eagles were up 13-11.
Yeah.
There was a controversial call. It looked like the ball may have hit the ground at 13-12. It was ruled that Troy flapjacked it, got it to 13-13, then won the final 2 points.
Flapjacked it. I like it.
One of the few volleyball terms I actually know.
I like it.
But to me, it looked like it hit the floor, but when they reviewed it, it was inconclusive, and then Troy ended up pulling it out in five sets. Really good match, though. I thought the Eagles did everything they could. It just didn't go their way.
So you look at the Sun Belt Conference standings in the Eastern Division. Coastal Carolina still sits atop at 8-0, 14-4 overall. South Alabama in second place at 7-1. Georgia Southern sitting third in the Eastern Division at 5-3, just ahead of Troy, who is 4-4. You still have to face South Alabama and Troy a little bit later on this season when they come to Hanner Fieldhouse in a couple of weeks. So you still get the opportunity for a little bit of revenge against the Trojans and South Alabama. Those are going to be two big games going down the backstretch, and I believe that might be the last weekend of the regular season. It is November 12th and 13th, Friday and Saturday, when Georgia Southern will have Troy on Friday, South Alabama on Saturday. So those could be really big as far as what seed you're getting when you get over to Foley.
One thing to look forward to this weekend, Arkansas State is typically one of the better defensive teams in the league. From prior matchups, I can remember them digging almost everything. It was very tough to get first contact points against them. So if Georgia Southern can get off to a good start against Little Rock, maybe finish up the homestand the way that it should, sweep that, and then get into next weekend and get some revenge on the Alabama schools.
Man, you're throwing out all the volleyball terms today.
Well, I've listed Chad Willis talk a little bit more. Mostly people just hear him, they see him hit the hammer, and then they say that's good. But we could talk about other things.
Yeah, we're diving into this.
This isn't just football, basketball, baseball. We dabble in everything, and we cover
like
it all.
Dabble.
Dabble.
That's the dabble hand signal.
Well, this is for the people on Facebook Live, and then everybody else on listen to this on the audio version. It's basically a horizontal spirit fingers.
Not exactly how I would put that.
Playing the piano.
I hear you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
So I can't play the piano, but that's dibble dabble is play the piano.
Oh, there's a reason they keep us on radio.
You're not lying.
Again, you can join the conversation with Danny and I. We will cover anything and everything you would like to by commenting here on Facebook Live. You can tweet us at GS Sports Network or text us 912-274-3607. As we dive into Georgia Southern football, who is experiencing the off week right now, but had a tough one in the state of Alabama at South Alabama. Before we get into this game, it was a 41-14 victory for South Alabama on Thursday night, nationally televised over at Hancock-Whitney Stadium. We got the chance to go around Hancock-Whitney a little bit. JT Crabtree, good buddy of ours that we had on the podcast last week, was able to take us around and really, really liked that stadium. As much as I disliked Ladd People Stadium, I really liked Hancock-Whitney. And you could really tell, we talked about it a little bit on pregame especially, you could tell how much it has changed. And I don't know how much of the change of the vibe, as Chad Willis would say, how much of the change of the vibe is because of Hancock-Whitney Stadium.
You gotta say it right.
No.
You
I'm not.
You got vibe.
No,
you gotta say it right.
No, I'm going to let y'all handle all that. But I don't know how much of the change of the vibe was because of Kane Womack in his first season and what he has brought to that program, or how much of it is because of Hancock-Whitney. I know there's a combination there somewhere. I just don't know exactly what the ratio is, but I know for a fact Hancock-Whitney Stadium definitely applies to that.
One ended up following the other because they had the stadium last year. Unfortunately, Steve Campbell's tenure ended after 2020. Enter Kane Womack, who's the D coordinator there in 16 and 17. And it's just the fact that it's on campus and it's something they feel like it's theirs and they can build an actual program off of.
Yeah.
Ladd People Stadium wasn't theirs. It was for the city of Mobile. It was 25, 30 minutes off of campus. The tailgating was a mishmash, and you just didn't really feel the experience because it wasn't their experience.
Yeah.
They're trying to build that authenticity with a stadium that's theirs right across the grassy hill from the indoor practice facility that's theirs. You know that they've got the money and the resources to recruit now because it's such a great recruiting area.
Yeah.
You can get to Mississippi, you can get to Texas, you can get to Alabama, you can get to so many different places so quickly. And assuming that Kane Womack, because he loves the area so much, and he's mentioned that on multiple interviews about how him and his wife, they just fell in love with Mobile when they were there the first time, they could really become a player in the West. It's still Louisiana's division, but there's no reason that they can't move to the upper half of this conference very quickly.
No, and he's talked about it, and I think JT brought it up last week on the podcast about how he has said he's bringing in five Mobile guys, not the surrounding area, but Mobile guys, whether it's walk-ons or whatnot. It may not all be five scholarship guys, but he's bringing in five people from the area of Mobile. But there was just a complete different feel around that program. Just everything seemed different. It almost seemed like a completely new team, a completely new program than what you've seen in the past. And we're talking about the proximity and being on campus. It's right across the street from the fraternity houses, right across the street from the fraternity sorority houses is the dorms. And so I think Pat Greenwood, the color analyst for the Jags Radio Network, was telling me instead of it being a 25-minute walk to the or 25-minute drive to the stadium, it's about a 25-second walk for a lot of the students. And they've had students turn out, and I was pretty impressed of what their student turnout was.
It was good.
On Thursday night, especially being a Thursday night. Can't remember what exactly 16,000 was the announced attendance, and that seemed about right. And a lot of that was students in that lower bowl right behind the Georgia Southern bench. But I mean, they were talking about they had 20,000 strong on their first game against Southern Miss, and it was a game that it was raining the entire time.
Yeah,
and so they've had a lot of buy-in. I know they use the hashtag Our City now of trying to take over Mobile, but I just can't get over the complete change in vibe. The complete change in feel around that program, and even to the point where Russ and I were talking about it in the postgame show, you didn't see the personal fouls, the kind of crazy stuff that you saw before. Of,
the collapses.
Yeah. You didn't see the personal fouls. You didn't see the after the play. You didn't see all the talking, all the jawing, all the nonsense that you saw from South Alabama in years past that everybody in the league kind of knew them for. You didn't see that. That was non-existent on Thursday.
It's been a very vanilla program for a little bit more than a decade. They don't have anything to really latch on to. You don't really know them for a standout defense. You really don't know them for standout offense. Yeah, they've had a couple of NFL guys. Gerald Everett comes to mind. He was a second-round pick a couple of years ago by the Rams, and now he's with the Seahawks. They just don't have a whole lot that lets you know that it's South Alabama football. They're just a team. They're average at best. But that performance Thursday night, coupled with what they've done this season, that could be a 6-0 team very easily.
Yeah.
They were a missed field goal away from beating the Cajuns. They should have beaten Texas State. They're up 14 points midway through the fourth quarter and blew it in four overtimes. But 4-2, it's likely they're going to go to a bowl game for the third time ever. This may be the best team that they've had there. And you saw what you can have with an experienced quarterback. Jake Bentley tore Georgia Southern up. They had never had anybody account for five touchdowns in a game. He set a school record throwing for 389. Jalen Tolbert, the All-American receiver, we mentioned him a lot more than probably we wanted to. But when you catch 11 balls for 174, your name's going to come up a lot. Even Jalen Wayne had over 100 yards receiving. And for the second straight week, the Eagles could not find a way to consistently run the ball because the first half was filled with three and outs.
And you talk about Jalen Tolbert, and he's somebody that Terry brought it up a good bit on the broadcast that you knew he was the All-American wide receiver coming in, multiple-time first-team All-League, and he's somebody that ends up with 11 catches, 174 yards, like you talked about in the score. He's somebody that the last couple of weeks especially, whether it be Arkansas State, whether it be Troy or South Alabama, we've talked about they've had one receiver, at least, one receiver that was really good coming in. The whole league knew about him. He's the only one that you really saw that type of performance that you expect out of somebody like that. There was the others that, it's not to say that they had bad games, but they didn't have that dominant performance. Jalen Tolbert came out, and it wasn't because, there was some of it because Georgia Southern busted coverage, whatnot, but there was a couple of them, he would just went up between two or three defenders. I think of that ball that he caught late in the ball game, went up between two different Georgia Southern Eagle defenders that were there and just went up and got it. You can't more than double cover somebody. And again, there was stuff that Georgia Southern did that kind of made it a little bit easier for him, but he went out and he did what he was supposed to do with the accolades that he has.
It became a, how is Georgia Southern going to stop him?
Yeah.
You knew he was going to get some of what he usually does.
Right.
But he got all of it, and then he got more of it. He started taking it from other people. He just made every catch imaginable, balls that were throwing him wide open, double coverage. He scored against Georgia Southern for the third straight year. He's not the biggest guy. He's got good speed. I wouldn't call him a burner, but he just catches just about everything that's thrown to him. And most of the time, he's doing it with people all over him. Because when you wear number 8 for South Alabama, people know where you are.
Yeah,
you're not going to surprise a whole lot of people. But even so, they moved him in the slot. They used him in motion. They ran him through a pistol formation, which I don't know that I've seen with the way that Major Applewhite called the game. And I said this a couple times during the broadcast. I think the true MVP of that game was Major Applewhite, the OC, because I think he called a fantastic game.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that was on a short week. But they found a way to account for better than 500 yards of offense. And you know that after blowing a chance against the Cajuns in Texas State and knowing that Georgia Southern was 7-0 all time, there was probably a little bit more from South Alabama standpoint. Like, all right, look, we got to end this. We know that Troy is our rival. If you're South, Battle for the Belt's coming up, and that's the game that got Steve Campbell fired last year when they lost 29-0. But the other one, you're 0-7 against Georgia Southern. That was one to them. All right, this needs to end so we can show that we're violently moving forward.
No, and that's what I was even more surprised that you didn't see. The personal fouls, the late hit stuff, the things you normally saw from South Alabama, because when it got to 10-0 after the first quarter, and when you were 31-8 at halftime, I'm like, okay, this is about to get ugly. And not the score, which it kind of did, but in the post-play stuff. But it didn't, which was even more surprising because it was a lopsided game. You knew they were had it in their mind that they were 0-7 against Georgia Southern before that. And so you knew all of that played into it, but I think that goes to show you what kind of program, and we were talking to JT and JD and Pat after the game, that goes to show you what Kane Womack has brought to this program and the kind of program that he's starting to build there at South.
There's just so much to like about South. Now, where before you thought,
man, I never thought I would hear that come out of either one of our mouths.
You're going to Ladd Peebles Stadium. It's very similar to Legion Field up in Birmingham. I feel like they're carbon copies of each other.
Which is great for a bowl game.
Yeah.
But not for...
Or a senior bowl. Now everything's on campus. Everything is at Hancock Whitney, which is an even bigger boon for them.
Right. And so it's not that Ladd Peebles was a bad. Ladd Peoples would have been nice for a bowl game. Would have been nice for the historic ambiance of Ladd Peoples Stadium. It's not a road game. Because it was almost a road game for South Alabama. And Glenn Ingram asking us, did either of us miss Ladd Peoples Stadium? And I think I can speak for you and say no.
No, the 2017 New Hampshire game is enough to make us not miss either Legion Field or Ladd Peoples, because I think of them as one and the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
But even winning the GoDaddy Bowl there in 15, it was fine because
right.
It felt like a municipal kind of stadium, a city stadium, where you know, the Chamber of Commerce and City of Mobile are all working together to put on something like that. And that's a memory that Eagle Nation's always going to have. And remember, That was also the spot of Georgia Southern's first ever Sun Belt game in 14. Beat South that day 28-6. But as far as that being a home stadium in the Sun Belt, it was never accepted because it wasn't.
No.
Now South has that, and they have turned what everybody thinks about Jaguar football completely around, because now people are going to look at South as, okay, it's the Cajuns. I think eventually Ark State catches back up, but I think they have a bigger rebuild. Right now, you could make the pretty compelling and probably a pretty easy case that South is the second-best team in the West.
Yeah, and it's up and down, the West has really improved, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later on, but ULM under Terry Bowden is being...
Good for them.
Yeah, no doubt.
Good for them.
With the victory over Liberty on Saturday night, that's one that I think ULM and a lot of people around ULM needed to be able to see that, hey, we're moving in the right direction under Coach Bowden. That was great. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But
your, game of the week.
Yeah, your, excuse me?
32.5-point favorite, what?
Yeah, all right. But the West especially just seems 1-5, and it's still Louisiana's side to lose. There's no doubt about that. But I think 2-5 has gotten a lot thicker than everybody else would have imagined, because I think Texas State makes me eat my words every time I say this, but they're a lot more improved than
should
people.
Should
it
be Troy?
Yeah, they're a lot more improved than what people think they are.
Had Troy beat, had a pick six, about 6 minutes left, ended up giving them the game away, but they came back from double digits again, and they should have won the game.
South Alabama, I don't think anybody would question that they're ahead of schedule of where they thought they would be under Kane Womack in his first season.
Yeah.
And so you talked about Arkansas State. Eventually they're going to get there under Butch Jones. I think the West is starting to get a little bit more dicey than everybody wants to think. And it's not necessarily that the East is running the Sun Belt anymore the way it has been the last couple of years, where the top 2-3 teams are coming out of the East.
And look, right now it's easy to think more that way because App State just got pummeled by the Cajuns.
Right.
But let's be honest, App State is not 4 touchdowns worse than Louisiana.
No, no.
But
no.
It was just one of those nights where, like we saw in Statesboro in 2018, when it goes bad for App, it goes really bad for App, because they have built themselves to a point where if they start to trail, they do not know how to respond to it. That's why they turned the ball over 4 times. That's why they mysteriously could not stop the run, and that's why the Cajuns blew them out on national television. They're feeling great going into a midweek matchup. They've got Arkansas State coming up on Thursday, a game that the Red Wolves really need. Otherwise, that could be a 1-11 season.
Yeah.
Now, that, they do have ULM left, but hey, ULM's 3-3 now, so let's not just go ahead and count that as an automatic win for anybody anymore.
No, and you look up and down the Sun Belt Conference standings. In the East, you've got Coastal Carolina, obviously, at the top, 6-0, 2-0 in league play, and they play their what feels like 47th game in the midweek this week. They play 6 midweek games. Half of their games this year are not on Saturday.
They're an honorary MAC member.
Good night. I think the MAC plays more games on Saturday.
But it is just, we brought this point up last week, it is an awesome thing to consider that whereas the Sun Belt formerly was a team that maybe got 1 or 2 games on national television, period, in a season, you're getting multiple games a week.
Oh, yeah.
On national TV, because Coastal's top 15, App in Louisiana on the fringe of the top 25. Everybody else is rapidly improving, or at least trying to rapidly improve. I know Georgia State, not necessarily in that boat. Troy may have an issue with its coaching staff at the end of the season, but even them, Troy's won back-to-back games.
Yeah, Troy's second in the East at 2-1.
Georgia State has all the talent that you could ask for, but things have not gone their way. They've had a not very good season. They're going to be coming here on October
the 30th. Trying to figure out who that quarterback's going to be.
Who's going to be the quarterback? Who's going to be the running back? Sean Elliott's trying to make a point by rotating guys in and out. Destin Coates, the running back, hasn't seen as much action as you would thought. And then with the Eagles, a coaching change after four games, you're looking to finish as strong as you possibly can for whoever the next coach is, for what the next recruiting class is going to look like. It can be turned quickly with the right situation and the right guy, as we can circle back to what we just saw with South Alabama, because they are absolutely on the way up.
Oh, no doubt. But just kind of looking through the Sun Belt standings, Coastal at 2-0 atop the East, Troy right behind them at 2-1, App State and Georgia State at 1-1 apiece, and then Georgia Southern at 1-3 at the bottom of the Eastern Division. In the West Side, Louisiana at 3-0 in the Western Division, 5-1 overall. Texas State technically sitting in second place in the West at 1-1. South Alabama and ULM at 1-2 in conference play, and then Arkansas State, like you mentioned, really needing this week at 0-2. And so we've talked about the last couple of years how much parity there is in this league. You look at Georgia Southern was towards the top of the Eastern Division or at the top of the Eastern Division 2-3 years ago. Arkansas State, the same thing on the Western side, and they're both sitting at the bottom of those respective divisions. And so a lot of it becomes that rapid improvement that you're talking about from teams like South Alabama, Texas State, even throw ULM in there after what we saw against Liberty last week. There's a lot to like about Sun Belt Conference football, and I'm glad, because now this week with a bye week, an off week, whatever you want to call it in college football, we get to sit back and watch it all.
And see how the Eagles are going to attack this bye week, because the indications that we got from Kevin Whitley on the Ford locker room wrap-up, he didn't spend a whole lot of time with us because, well, he didn't want to talk about the performance, and who could blame him. He's going to find the best 22.
Yeah.
And expect this week to be a hard-hitting week, more full pads. This is not going to be a down week because it is a bye week. He's got to find a team that's going to put forth a much more Georgia Southern effort over the next five games. And look, App, Coastal, BYU.
Yeah, these aren't cakewalks.
That's three of the games. Oh, homecoming against Georgia State. You're going to Texas State, who's fully capable, as we have seen. They still need things to go right for them instead of almost everything going wrong for them at the worst time. These are five that you better be ready to roll. And thankfully, the Panthers begin that, because I would want time to get ready for what's become our rival.
Yeah.
I would want time to get ready for homecoming, and I would want to get ready to show that 41-14 against a team that had never defeated Georgia Southern is not who the Eagles are.
No, and we talked about it earlier, how I think this bye week comes at a really good time for a lot of different reasons, because it gives you time to kind of reset a little bit and to be able to take a step back and say, all right, breathe. But you got to get ramped up. And so I would be, like you talked about, you expect to see a lot of hard hitting, a lot of decisions being made over the next 16 days before Georgia Southern faces Georgia State on October the 30th. But I think this is kind of what Georgia Southern needs. And we talk about it time and time again. It's kind of a double-edged sword. You don't want to have to sit on a 41-14 game for 16 days. But I also think it, again, comes at a good time that you get to kind of take a breather.
On the injury front, Daryl Baker didn't even play against South Alabama. He barely played the week before against Troy. He's been dealing with that forearm contusion. His forearm looks like a turtle shell. The way it was wrapped up on Thursday, it's amazing that he could even go through drills the way that he was. But we've seen Seth Robertson start each of the last 2 weeks. Didn't have Randy Wade. He didn't make the trip to Mobile. Quinn Williams got his second career start. When you tack that on to all of the other injuries that Georgia Southern has experienced, Kadri Jackson didn't play because of the knee. Now you got 2.5 weeks, so the hope is that he's going to be ready. But with all the other season-ending injuries, all the transfers, all the guys finishing up their eligibility from the year before, from that 2020 defense, which on a lot of fronts was one of the best that Georgia Southern has ever had, you're seeing guys get experience, but at the same time, the growing pains are going to be necessary to get them to the point that you want to get them to. So while 2-5 isn't what you want, if it's what you have to go through to get the best out of those guys, that's how it's going to be the most beneficial.
When you look at Sunbelt Conference football this week, you've got two midweek games on Wednesday up in Boone. App State will host number 14 Coastal Carolina.
Brr.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about quarter zip weather?
They say, according to the weather, AccuWeather, it says it's going to be 66 degrees. I don't believe you. Anyway, might be 66 degrees at noon, but maybe, not at 7:30.
Maybe in the booth. That's with the window up.
On Thursday night, you've got Arkansas State hosting Louisiana. Saturday, nice and spaced out in terms of Sun Belt Conference games. 2 o'clock kickoff up in Atlanta, Texas State at Georgia State. And then South Alabama will head down to Malone Stadium in Monroe for a 7 Eastern kick. I like how they nice and spaced it out for us. You get one Wednesday, one Thursday, two Saturday, but it's a 2 and 7. You got time for dinner in between. That was awful nice of them.
That was a very pleasant way you described that. That was good.
It's the way I looked at it.
Eagle fans will become Bobcat fans this weekend for sure.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But if you want to peel away from whatever else is going on this weekend and get an early look at the Panthers, it's not going to be the Panthers that you saw at the end of last season when Quad Brown was throwing for close to 400 yards and leading them to a comeback victory up at Turner Field. He might be the quarterback. It might be Darren Granger. The running back might be Tucker Gregg. It might be Destin Coates. Who knows what the defense is going to look like. Their season's been a lot like Georgia Southern's, and we'll get into a full preview of them once we have next week's edition. But their season has gone a lot like Georgia Southern's. Both have had difficult schedules. They've actually been bit by COVID. They've had some guys in COVID protocol for quite a few weeks. They had three other starters down against Army to open the season, and Army just went up there and ran the ball all over them, just dominated them in Atlanta, and very pleasing for Eagle fans for a number of different reasons.
Maybe we should bring on Rich DeMarco to talk about them.
I think he would enjoy that. I think we would enjoy that.
Yeah, I think it. Get a last couple minutes. If you want to send in your questions on Facebook Live, you can text them 912-274-3607 or tweet them at GS Sports Network. Before we sign off, what's your plans for the off week, the bye week, whatever you want to call them?
Daryl Lynn and I are going to be heading out of town for a couple days.
Ooh, very nice.
Going to be spending the weekend up in Jasper, so that'll be enjoyable.
Oh, I love North Georgia.
Have not been to Jasper. I haven't been to North Georgia, so this will be fun.
Now, I guess Canton would have been the northest of Georgia you've seen.
I don't think that's really North Georgia.
No, it's not. It's kind of on the border. You'd get up towards Blue Ridge.
Why don't you get past Atlanta? Everything could be considered north, but this is Helen. Because what was Chambers? Helen's Chambers.
Yeah, Helen was Chambers' go-to.
But you got Hawassi up there. Young Harris is up there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Jasper's beautiful. I love
this
Jasper.
Would be nice. Just to have a nice little couple of days to charge up for not just the final five regular season games, but as we mentioned, basketball season's about 3 weeks away. Eagles going to open up November the 9th here at Hander Fieldhouse non-conference matchup. D1 competition against Ball State. Haven't seen them in nearly 50 years on the hardwood. It's hard to believe. We'll be getting into a full basketball preview here pretty soon with the women starting about that time as well.
So you going for a cabin? Or?
Yeah.
There's not much that beats a cabin in North Georgia. I love it.
And I'm going to ride a horse.
Come again?
Yeah. I'm going to ride a horse this week. I've never done it, but I'm going to ride a horse.
Well, I mean, you've got the equestrian expert with you, so...
That is why.
Has she taken you through training? Or do you have to be trained to ride a horse?
Let's just say I've been partially trained for the last almost 6 years about trying to get onto a horse.
Yeah, my guess is you've heard a thing or two about horses the last couple of years.
So this is me saddling up.
Okay. We'll have to get a full recap of that.
I want to get a horse with a real, real tough name.
No,
I want it to be this. I want it to be the most innocuous looking horse as possible. Would it be just put me on a burrow named Lightning or something? Hee haw!
Yeah, I'm about to say I'd like something one step up from a donkey, please.
Or give me a horse named Fire.
Yeah, I don't need a Clydesdale.
It's a quarter horse, one of those baby horses. Funny because I'm short. There you go. But yes, I'm going to ride a horse this weekend. I don't know how that's going to go, but we'll see.
That's fantastic. We will definitely have to catch up on that next week.
I'll her on that one.
Might have to bring her in for the recap.
She could be the guest. But she could talk about the Georgia Southern Equestrian team. She works with them out at Evermore Farm.
There you go. Full circle.
There you go.
360.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be getting to head up to just north of Augusta. My niece, Maddie Jo, her birthday party coming up this weekend.
Wonderful.
Got to see them this past weekend on my way up to another event, but got to see them in a cheerleading competition. Her and Caroline both knocking it out of the park in cheerleading. Have you ever been to a cheerleading competition?
I've watched the movie Bring It On.
Man, those things are serious. Those people don't play.
I don't think I've actually been to a competition.
Well, we'll have to get you up to see Maddie, Joe, and Caroline.
Is it like they show it in the movies? Or
I don't know. I've never seen that movie.
You never seen Bring It On?
No.
It's only on television 15 times a day.
Okay. Well, I'll catch it on the 14th. Maybe 13th. One of the two. Well, that'll wrap up this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation. Again, Georgia Southern with a much-needed bye week this week. They will pick it back up next week when Georgia State comes to town for homecoming October the 30th.
A couple news notes that we haven't gotten to the last couple of weeks. Congratulations to former Eagle men's basketball player Jelani Hewitt, now an assistant coach at Chicago State. That happened 3 weeks ago. I haven't had a chance to get to that. Also, congratulations to former Eagle Ike Smith, who inked a contract to play in the G League with the Texas Legends. That happened about a week ago. So Ike's been through a lot. Ike's played overseas. He's battled numerous injuries, and I am thrilled that he gets a chance to play in the G League.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those guys that you cheer for no matter what he's doing.
Well, he was here for...
Him and Jelani both.
I mean, Ike was here for 12 years.
It seems like it. Him and Matt Anderson were all about it. Quick update on the scoreboard from Georgia Southern Women's Golf as they're down at Kiowa Island at Oak Point Golf Club. They have finished up and they lost one stroke to Coastal Carolina, so they will enter round three tomorrow in second place by their lonesome. Coastal Carolina in first at 14 under par, Georgia Southern 13 under par, so well within striking distance of the Chanticleers. Individually, Saraton Radisson in second place by herself at 7 under. And Emma Bell tied for fourth with 3 under for Georgia Southern individually.
We have driven to Coastal Carolina quite a few times.
Yes.
In all sports.
Done a couple podcasts on the road, too.
There is no shortage of 5 different golf courses simply on the drive from the hotel to get to campus.
No.
So if they're not good at golf, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, we passed by every restaurant known to man on the 2-lane going through Highway 17, but it has to be 5 different golf courses in that half-hour drive.
You're not wrong by any stretch, but we will keep an eye on what Georgia Southern Women's Golf does in the final round tomorrow over at Kiowa Islands. But that'll wrap things up for us. We will resume Hail Southern Live this week at Gene Bishop Fieldhouse on Thursday night. Do a little bit different of a dive. Won't talk to Kevin Whitley quite as much. We'll have him on for the final 2 segments of this week. We're going to be catching up with a couple of people that make Georgia Southern football kind of run throughout the year that we don't get to necessarily talk to because they're doing everything when we're normally talking to people. So get to catch them in a little bit of a lull. They're still going through everything this week, but get to catch them on a little bit of a breather.
More of a relaxed,
yeah,
nice and chill.
Yeah, just chill.
Sit by the fire.
We might throw a couch up there instead of a couple chairs.
Nice. I'm doing my Terry voice. Nice and relaxed.
But we'll have Hail Southern Live 7 to 8 p.m. on Thursday from Gene Bishop Fieldhouse. Doors will open at 6:30. But until Thursday, for the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.